Okay, well, with no further ado, can I have everybody come on up? Pastor Eleanor, Pastor Sue, Candy, and Pammy. Who else is coming up? And Dr. V. Come on up, girls. Let's give them a hand.
Hi, everybody. The girls have to rearrange the furniture and just get ourselves set up here. Hi, how are you doing? Oh, this is a beautiful sight. I see a lot of pink. Okay, if you are here and you are a survivor of breast cancer, why don't you stand up? Let's just see where you're at. Anybody? Thank you. Wow, look at you. Wow, hi. Oh, what an honor to have you. Wow. And all of you wearing pink, just show off your pink. Let's see. Just stand up, you pink girls. Everybody wear pink. Stand up. You were so cute and obedient today to wear pink. Look at that. Isn't that pretty? Wish you could have a picture of that. Awesome. Awesome. So over here, too, I just want to settle this before we go on the furniture and then the clothes. You know, we're girls. So Pastor Sue and I were out of the loop about pink. So I was thinking maybe you can just wrap this around your neck. Sure. Yes? Yeah. Look at you, Dr. Vanessa, all cute in pink and all of you. And you know, this redhead girl does not have one piece of pink anywhere in my closet. My mom said to me, redheads don't wear pink.
Yes, they do.
My friend tells me it's not true.
Yeah.
But okay, now I... Thank you. Anyway, so awesome to have you. Why don't you just look to somebody in front or on the side of you and tell them why you are glad you came today? Let's just break the ice, okay? Just turn, we're not going to have tables today. Turn to somebody and tell them, why are you glad to be here at Women Rock today? Just tell them. You know, everything that you see here at the Rock Church, and it was just so beautiful, the worship time, Pastor Jessica, and when you do announcement, you're preaching, so you're just amazing. And the Holy Spirit was just speaking to me, and just want to let you know, everything you see, all of this is what is happening, is in a response to what God has done. This is not us coming up with things and, you know, want to put things together. God has invited all of us to be a part of what He's doing. And the Rock and Women Rock is here, truly, not out of ourselves, but in response to the beauty and the goodness and the salvation that God has given us. And God has invited us, come, be a part of what I'm doing on the earth. So as we all are invited, each one of you are invited. Don't sit here and feel you're an outsider, okay? Even if it's your first time. This is God's invitation for you to say, come girl, get invited with the other women to what I am doing on the earth today. And it is a beautiful thing. God is just so good. So we have a panel here and we have Candy and Pammy that have recently been through breast cancer, are victorious, overcomers, healed, but have had to walk the walk that some of you may be familiar with. And they act absolutely our heroes. I will start with Candy. I've had the honor to meet Candy shortly after we got here, came to this church about 12 years ago. Candy has been on board. Those of you who don't know, she hasn't been around for a couple years because of work and all of this, but she was a very integral part of Women Rock in the mornings. She was on the team, she was a table leader, she was a coach, and she knew everybody, and then she left a couple years, come back, and it's like, who are all these girls? Bunch of new girls. So Candy is no stranger to the Rock. They've been members of the Rock for how long?
12 years.
So we arrived about the same time. That's probably what connected us. Yeah, we were kind of the new girls on the block at the same time. And then Pam has been as just part of the Rock. How long have you been part of the Rock? How many years?
Since late 89.
Oh my word. Pam and her husband and her family, her son is still an employee here at the church. He is the brains behind the whole website. But Pammy, you are following what God has you do, but you are no stranger to the Rock and have been here a long time, and we've seen your walk of faith, and we cannot wait to hear from you. And Pastor Sue, all of you know Pastor Sue, right? Pastor Sue, Dr. Vanessa. They are the theological experts on the panel today. So thank you, Jesus. I get to ask all the questions, but they've got all the answers, right? So when Dr. V, if you did not know, that's why you're here.
No, I didn't
know. Dr. Vanessa, as well as Pastor Sue, are going through, or like all of us, their own set of intense battles and challenges in their lives. They're no stranger to difficulties, and we've all lived long enough, right? To have experienced that, and you are also in a walk of faith, but you are the theologian. So let's get started here. We're going to ask Pammy as well as Candy to just start us off and give us just an outline. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of things. We've got questions, and later on we're going to open up, you know, the floor for questions from you ladies. So just give us an outline of when did this all happen and your diagnosis, what you've been through and coming in, just like a 5-minute synopsis, and then we'll get into the detail.
Okay. Hi, ladies. Well, it was actually on Friday, September 11th, right? I'm already going to cry. Talking about it always just stirs something up inside of me because we lived it, you know? But Friday, September 11th, 2009, I got the phone call that said I had breast cancer. And at that very moment, it was devastating. I think all this is tragedy to triumph, and it was very, very much a tragedy in my life. And the fear that just engulfed me at that moment was so real. And those of you that have gone through it know that feeling. It's just so real, you know? And so it was that fear that just engulfed me. And went to my daughter's room, told her, I had to call my husband on the phone and tell him over the phone that I have breast cancer. It was really a hard thing to have to try to do. And through that process, that very day, I was back in the surgeon's office, and he found that he had said he can see where the biopsy showed the cancer, but that he can see a whole lot more that he was concerned about. So on Monday, I was in for an MRI, and things just went really quickly with my breast cancer because it was very aggressive. I went in and had a lumpectomy, and then they did like 3 other biopsies when they did the lumpectomy. And so 5 days later, I got the phone call that my whole breast was full of cancer, so I needed to have a mastectomy. And so, you know, before it used to be easy, like before I ever got diagnosed with breast cancer, like if I ever got it, I would just do a mastectomy and it wouldn't be a big deal. But it's a really big deal when you actually are faced with it. And so, you know, then the question became, do we just do the one or do we do the two, take them both off? So I had a double mastectomy, and I thought at that point I was all done. I thought, yay, we're good, we're done, you know, this is over with, until I went to the oncologist's office, whatever. And then he told me I had to have chemo. And so that was devastating. I think that might have been more devastating than losing my boobs. You know, because you walk in to the treatment center and you see everybody sitting in their recliners with their blankets on, their little beanies on, and sleeping, and you know, it's intimidating. And if you've gone through it, you know, it's very intimidating. And I wanted to run. And so I did that. Every 3 weeks for 12 months, I had to go for treatment. In the meanwhile, about a year and a half later, I was able to go and start reconstruction, and that felt good to start feeling like a lady again. Let me just say, too, after my very first chemo, it was only like 2 weeks. It was 1 day shy of 2 weeks. I was taking a shower, getting ready to come to church, and washing my hair when I just got handfuls of hair. And it just was... Yeah, it was horrible. It was just, it was worse than chemo itself. It was worse than losing the breast. And it was very intimidating. I want to say really quickly that throughout the process, you know, it was up and it was down and it was up and it was down. And dealing with fear and replacing fear every day, pretty much replacing fear with faith and facing death in its face, you know. And I'll never forget, actually, Pastor Debbie was the one that helped me with that. And she helped me with a lot. But she talked to me and dealt with me about facing death and the fear of it. And taught me to stand on Psalms 118, 17 that says, I will not die, but I shall live and I shall declare the works of the Lord. And I love to say that because what am I doing today? I'm living and I did not die. I'm living and declaring the works of the Lord today. So God gets all the glory. And so through the process, it took a few years, 5 surgeries, chemo. I did not have to have radiation, and I was extremely grateful for that. And I still go to the doctor every 6 months and get blood work done and see my oncologist every 6 months. But God is extremely faithful.
Wow. You know, I was Dr. Vanessa, you are as close friends could get with Pammy. Can you just give us in a response to that, what was the greatest thing speaking to you? Because I know you were there with her in the trenches all the way too.
Let's see if I could do it without crying. So I remember when Pam, after she had told her family, Pam called me, and her voice sounded strong, and I totally fell apart, if she remembers, you know, because of that fear. And I think that that is the biggest enemy in whatever trial, whatever battle we're going through, is allowing, you know, how we have to wear that helmet of salvation, our armor to protect ourselves, and to remember who we are, to remember that we have eternal life, to not let the devil, whose primary target is our minds, get in our minds and convince us, because death becomes a reality to us. But Pastor Deborah said, I think last week or the last time she preached, that fear, 2 weeks ago, that fear is just false evidence appearing real, that it's not a reality. What's reality is that she had to have a mastectomy and go through chemotherapy. It was not a reality that she was going to die, regardless of how many other people have not survived cancer. That wasn't a reality. So you can allow fear to come in or not. And my hardest thing was seeing, you know, there's been a lot of people that have gotten a diagnosis of cancer. But when you see these women who are Christians, you realize that they came out more beautiful than they were before because of their faith in God, because they were able to cast down imaginations. And so it's not just surviving. People survive cancer, but surviving with giving God the glory, being stronger in their faith, what Satan intended for bad, they turned around and now they are on fire for Jesus, the radiance. Look how beautiful they are through what they came through. And through every trial that you're going through, know that you're going to come out so much better. Like Job got double. You're going to come out so much better than you did before.
Wow. Yeah, that's beautiful. And truly, the two of you have always been two of the most beautiful women inside out that any one of us could ever know. And you are even more beautiful now. So, and look at your heads of hair. Yeah, Candy. Yes. Candy, why don't you tell us too? And Candy's daughter is here. Hi. She's beautiful. You have beautiful children and have an amazing support system also that God has given you. But tell us, how did it all come about for you?
In 2015, beginning of the year, our life at home kicked into high gear. I mean, we're talking, if you've ever been busy, triple that, that's where we were. We were moving our house. We had to move out of our home, so I was packing my home. Our office had decided to close down so that all of the employees could work out of the house, out of our own homes, which was a blessing, but it fell on my daughter and I to pack up our office. So everything, my parents decided to move. I mean, it was just like we were in high gear. And I had been without health insurance for 3 years. because of finances. And because work had kicked up so much, all of a sudden I was in full time, and so I was able to afford health insurance. So I ran to the doctor, you know, have all those tests done, get that all taken care of. Of course, had my mammogram, didn't think a thing of it. And about a week later, I got a phone call, and they said, Mrs. Bennett, we need you to come in for a second mammogram because there's just some, it's not quite clear. I love that, not quite clear. So I'm going, Lord, I don't have time for this. I really don't have time for this. But I went in, and I had it done. Less than a week later, I got a phone call, and they said, Mrs. Bennett, we need you to come in, and we think you need a biopsy because we found some granular-type cells. So, you know, technological age that we have, my husband got online and started checking out what they told me, you know, on Google. And come to find out, oh, everything should be good. You've only got like a 5% chance of this being anything bad. 95% chance that everything's good. So I seriously did not even think about it. It's like, okay, we scheduled the biopsy. I'm going to go in, have a biopsy. We have no history of breast cancer in my family. I'm good. I got a better chance of having a heart attack than breast cancer. And they told me they would call me a week later with the results. And like Pam, basically from here on out, Pam and I have a very similar story. That phone rang on Wednesday, May 6th, and I picked up the phone, and this wonderful little nurse, I feel bad for her, she's got the worst job in the world, said a bunch of technological terms and medical terms, and then ended with, Mrs. Bennett, I'm so sorry, you have breast cancer. And your world stops. All of the busyness, everything that I had going on in my life, nothing mattered at that moment. And I was alone in my office, and I sat there, and I can remember putting my head in my hands and just going, okay, God, here we go. Because I have a choice. Yeah. I have a choice. I'm either going to go through this the world's way and my way, or I'm going to go through this your way, and I want to do this right. Mm-hmm. And I begged God, Lord, please help me do this right. Within 16 days, I was having a double mastectomy. Mm-hmm. And I was told at that time that they would dissect the lymph nodes. They would take a few lymph nodes, dissect them. And if there was no cancer, and then chances were very, very good that I would not have to go through chemotherapy. So they came out after surgery. I had a wonderful Christian surgeon. Thank you, Lord. He provided me with this incredible woman who stood by my bedside before she went into surgery with me and prayed heaven down. I mean, this was a Holy Spirit-filled surgeon. Thank you, Lord. And she came out and told my family, there's no sign of cancer in the lymph nodes. Of course, it'll have to go to pathology, but at this point, it looks really good. And so I was greatly relieved. You know, I was done. I had cancer for 16 days, shortest cancer in history, and all this was really good. And the pathology report came back, and there were two little words that stood out, and they were... oh gosh, I can't even remember. Vascular invasion. Mm-hmm. The cancer cells had infiltrated the vascular system leading to the lymph nodes. And based on that, while your lymph nodes do a pretty good job of cleaning out your system and being a filter, if even one cancer cell gets past, mm-hmm. it can go anywhere in your body and show up eventually. So based on that, they wanted me to have chemotherapy. And like Pam said, that was devastating. That was worse than finding out that I was going to lose my breasts. Yeah. And I can remember going to the class that they have you go to, and it's like, it's real. Mm-hmm. It's real. Mm-hmm. This is happening to me. Mm-hmm. And exactly one day short of 2 weeks, mm-hmm. I'm standing in the shower, mm-hmm. and sure enough, just, we're talking all of the hair came out all at once. Mm-hmm. And I have pictures of it piled up on my sink. And my daughters sat with me on the floor and cried. My husband arrived with his trusty clippers and saved the day and shaved my head. And some of you know what that's like. I'm looking at some of these beautiful girls who are going through it right now. It's devastating. And until you've gone through it, you can say, I think I know what that would feel like, but it's completely different. And I think it was at that point that I decided that God and I were going to have to walk this completely together. I mean, there was nobody else who could understand, just my God and Pam. And only had to go through four treatments of chemotherapy. I didn't have to go through what Pam had to go through. Very, very blessed. Started reconstruction this past year, and I'm hoping to be finished with that by the middle of next year. Praise the Lord. But the amount of growth that took place, I cannot even begin to tell you. I am not the same person sitting here in front of you that I was 2 years ago.
That's right.
Not even close. The Spirit of God in me,
yes,
was able to do what I could not do.
Yes.
He conquered every situation. He promised me he would give me everything that I needed, and he did it beyond measure. And I know that if you're going through it,
yes,
he'll do the same for you.
Yes.
Because he does not respect, he's no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons.
That is why we're here today, to celebrate what God has done for you. But it's so much bigger than that. God has given you an assignment to speak and to testify, and it's really truly about all of us,
yeah,
to just remember the benefits of God, to remember the goodness of God, and remember that God is not a respecter of persons. So just open your hearts as to what God has for each one of us here today. So we have a couple of questions, and I think we're going to start with a question. Tell us, was there a specific scripture? You know, one scripture or one thought or one, what God dropped that stands out now looking back. What was it, that one thing or that one scripture or that one spiritual truth that became an anchor? Now, you know scripture, both of you, a lot of scripture all your life, but was there one, something that stands out that just served as a true anchor for you during this time?
Well, for me at the beginning, it was First Timothy 1:7, that for God has not given to me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And that was something that really stood out for me. And it really empowered me, because throughout I learned that I'm victorious. I wasn't identified by cancer. I wasn't identified by what I look like in the mirror. I was identified by his word, and his word told me that through him I am victorious, and his word tells me that I don't have to be fearful. And along the way, my really, this incredible scripture is Zephaniah 3:17 that I really experienced, and that is, I don't remember it exactly. This is I'm paraphrasing it, that God, he rejoices over us, and he quiets us with his love. And I'll never forget that, because there were so many times when I couldn't sleep, and yet I would be woken up really with hearing Jesus. I would be singing in my spirit, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. And songs like that. And then he showed me Zephaniah 3:17. And I'm telling you, it just caused so much joy inside of me that all I could do was dance and all I could do was laugh. And that is what empowered me. That's just, it sounds silly, but there's so many, but those are the ones that come to my mind.
Have you ever woken up in the morning and you have a song in your heart? You kind of, you know, your spirit takes in what you put in there. And yes, and you know, that is why you have to be in the house of God. You have to be in a place where you can, your spirit can be fed. So without your brain even working, in the morning when you wake up, your spirit is singing. And it is a beautiful thing when the Holy Spirit sings back to you, you know? So that is so precious. That is so precious. Pastor Sue, I want to maybe jump here quickly to you. I have a question for you, but here's a scripture, you know, that throughout this time that I've been just thinking and praying about today, I just thought about this word because I look our example today. We are all sinners, but these are two very beautiful Christian women, like Vanessa said. And I just keep thinking about the scripture in this world. Mm-hmm. All of this that God has done, that Jesus has done, our salvation, our healing, and all that. But there's a scripture that says, and in this world. And it is Jesus talking. It is red letters. And it is in John 16. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That is just so, so powerful. Because you can sit here and look at them and say, and question, and fear can come through that. That why the age-old question? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, why do bad things happen to anybody? But I know, Pastor Sue, that becomes a question that you deal with a lot, talking to people, counseling people. You've been a pastor most of your life. How do you do that when somebody sits and say, Pastor Sue, why she's my sister or my mom, and they're such good people, such beautiful people, why are these bad things happening? It's a struggle. Many people have, believers and non-believers.
Yeah, that is a question. You know, it says in Deuteronomy 29:29, it's interesting that you, I was thinking about this morning, so I had looked it up, but in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And the Word of God says that with Jesus' stripes we were healed. We know, bottom line, that Jesus paid for our salvation and he paid for our physical healing. Yeah. Now, as to why different ones of us are attacked with different things, it's really like Pastor Eleanor read, in this world we'll have tribulation, we're going to have trials, but he tells us to be of good cheer because he has not left us alone. He is with us to hold our hand and walk through it and to bring us out on the other side victorious. So he promises victory. But as to why some of us are having challenges and having to walk through certain things, that's really, if God reveals to you maybe an area, the Bible says to give the devil no place. Sometimes there has been things that we've done, you know, that have kind of given place to the enemy. Sometimes we haven't taken care of our bodies, or sometimes we haven't done things we need to do with our children or whatever. So we have maybe given place for the enemy to get a foothold. So we're not perfect. And we haven't arrived, you know, to this place of perfection that we're never going to make a mistake. But his grace is so overshadowing for that, that he comes alongside us. He takes our hand, he strengthens us, he shows us what the word is, and we begin to exercise that faith muscle, and we overcome evil with good. But sometimes there's something, it just appears that maybe that it seems like the prayer wasn't answered, and we're tempted to ask why. And what I tell people sometimes is, why is it a room you can't go in? You know, if the Holy Spirit reveals to you, yeah, something that you can do, your part, then hallelujah. But if there isn't that answer to that question, then that's something you have to just commit to the Lord. And you have to say, God, you're God. You are the creator. I am the created. All I can see is what your word says. At this point in time, I don't see the answer to my prayer, but I'm going to trust you with that. There's a well-known minister of God that she always says, trust requires unanswered questions. Mm-hmm. And there's times that we come to a place where we say, God, I'm going to serve you if I never see an answer to this prayer. But I believe I'm going to see it. I believe I'm going to see it this side of heaven. And if not, we'll talk about it later. But with that we stand, when we've done all to stand, we stand. Yes. Yeah. And so anyway, that's a scripture that he ministered to at one point in my life. You know, I had twins, a lot of you know, almost 25 years ago I had twins. And 3 weeks before my one twin was born, his brother died. And it just, you know, I was standing, I believed the word, I didn't know why that happened, and that word why became a real torment for me. But then God showed me the scripture, and I said, Father, I commit this all to you. I'm going to trust you. I know he's in your hands. What could be better? His eternal salvation is secure. He's going to be with you forever, and I'm going to meet him again. And the time I'm going to have with him is so much longer than any amount of time I could have had here. So it's all good. And he brought me to a place of peace and resolve. And that's where you have to work out your own salvation in that sense. But trust him. He's a good God.
Candy, have you struggled with that? Have you struggled with questions? And, you know, we talked about, do we value life sometimes too much? What about the verse that says to die is gain? You know, because death is the fear that will torment you then. But the Bible says to die is gain. Have you struggled with the question?
I never struggled, and I don't want to say this in a boastful way. Please don't take me wrong. I never struggled with why. I've always been raised. I was raised in church my entire life, and I've always been raised with that knowledge that, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And that because we're part of life, we're going to have trials and struggles and challenges, and the most important thing is how I deal with that. I never really feared death. I know Pam did. And I'm not sure why. What I did come to realize, though, was that didn't matter how my body felt, there became a very clear definition in my mind at one point, the difference between my spirit and my body. My spirit is entirely different than my body. It didn't matter what my body was feeling like, because after chemotherapy, your body feels awful. And I would be laying in bed, and my spirit would begin to rise up. And I would begin to pray. There's a verse of scripture in Psalms 119, 175 that says, "Invigorate my soul, that I may praise you well." And I would begin to feel that well up in my spirit. And like Pam said, it would sing to the Lord, and it would just rejoice, and it would pray for others. I would pray for this group of women meeting. I would pray for our pastors. I would pray for my family, because my soul could thrive.
That's right.
Didn't matter what my body was going through. My soul could thrive. My spirit could thrive. And that became very clear, that all of a sudden, someday, may not be now, someday later, my spirit, though it may leave this body, is not going to be any different.
Yes.
I'm not going to be any different.
Yes.
That spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in me, and my spirit is going to live, and I am going to praise my King forever.
Right.
And death has no sting.
That's right. That's right.
It has no sting.
That's right.
It's one thing to say that, it is another to actually, when it's a question of life and death, and that so ministers, that is just beautiful. I remember having lunch with you one particular day, and I walked away from having lunch with Candy, and I'm like, I am lifted up, you know? I was getting ready to just encourage and build up and just love on Candy, and I'm like, how did this happened, you know, the roles were completely reversed. I was sitting listening to her, and my mouth just dropped, because it was truly in the middle of it. Yeah. Just faith. I'm seriously, Candy, somewhere has to be a crack in there somewhere, but
yeah, there were a few moments
but this is the real deal. This is the real deal, and the deep knowledge of, I guess, understanding the spirit and the flesh and the here and now and eternity. So tell us about family, Pammy. How can people help? When you have somebody in your family that's going through this situation or something similar, that's just devastating, they can look to you and say, you know what, you don't know anything. it's easy for you to do that. Maybe not you, because you guys are perfect, you know? But what has really helped you? And you can be totally honest with us. We will not be offended, okay? Tell us, what are the do's and don'ts for family and loved ones to stand by those going through this? Because we could never know unless you tell us.
Yeah. That is a really, really good question, actually. Yes. I think one of the things maybe not to do would be like to just come and cry, because that's so hard. Because I know when I cried, I had my moments. Yes. Otherwise, I didn't really cry. It was more like, you know, I mean, hey, we're going forward with this, and we're victorious through it. So keep your eye on the prize, you know. And so I think as family, of course, at the beginning we cried together and we did all of that. So I don't mean that, because at the beginning we all cried together and talked about it and, you know, linked arms and went forward. But I think one of the most important things that really helped me was that everybody would just come around and talk. We talked about other things. We didn't talk about me. We didn't talk about what I was having to physically go through. We talked about God. We uplifted Him. And it was so encouraging all the time. Another thing as far as what really helped me was, and you guys all know me, so you know this, was helping clean the house. Mm-hmm. Because people like me are
freaks. She likes a clean house.
And so,
a very clean house.
And I'm a freak. And so I remember Vanessa came over one day and she said, okay, what do you want me to do? And I said, can you dust? Do you remember that, Vanessa?
And she and change the sheets and make her a potato and onion burrito. Yeah.
But I remember when I first said, I said, can you dust? She said, really? Are you serious? You want me to dust? And I said, yeah, you asked if you could help me. And so she helped me. I don't remember if she dusted, but I'm kidding, she did. And so she made me potato burritos and took care of me in a lot of ways. So, but what really helped me was helping with the house, coming and just, this might sound funny, unless you've gone through it, you know this, but having somebody come over and just be with me. And so we would watch a movie, I would go right to sleep, but somebody else would just be there, you know. Bring lunch, I may or may not eat it, but, you know, it was just having somebody there sometimes and not doing anything, and yet just being there and having the presence of somebody. I think that it was very helpful to have people to do errands for me. It was very helpful that I think most of all it was just encouragement, you know. It was encouraging me to be able to go out and maybe not wear a wig, you know, and, you know, brave the bald. And, you know, so I really think as far as family, it was just always being there. It was just that encouragement. And it wasn't even talking about going through it. It was just being there and loving on each other. It was just being there, because going through this really makes you see how important your family is, you know. And I think so many times we get caught up in the little mundane things, but really when you go through something like this, you really realize how important family is. And it was just, I don't know, I can't really think of anything that anybody did that maybe I wish they didn't do, other than my family didn't really do this, but I would have friends come and they would just feel so bad for me and then start crying, where I really was okay. I never, you know, I was okay. I dealt with my fear and I was empowered and I just kept going forward. So I think that was probably the only thing that I dealt with, you know, that was...
That is so helpful to know. How about you? Was it
humor? Humor really helped me.
Really?
My family tends to be a little bit humorous anyway, and we would just, I mean, around my house, you did not talk about a bad hair day. No bad hair jokes. We didn't talk about that because I had it covered. But yeah, just that sense of humor, something to lift your spirits. You have enough of your own private quiet time when life is very hard and you've got to face it. So when somebody can be in your presence and can make you feel lighthearted and encouraged, that's powerful.
That's wonderful. Have you ever wondered what to say? Any one of you? wondered what to say, right? When you see somebody, you go see a friend or whatever. So you could just take a deep breath. Breathe. Don't put that stress on you to come up with being, trying to be deeply spiritual. There's a time and a place for everything and ministry time, but overall, just don't get deeply spiritual and all of that. So,
well, humor, like Candy said, humor was something. My kids, I remember they challenged me. I didn't do it now. I wish I did. But they told me, because I had no hair and I had no boobs. So they told me, Mom, why don't you go out there and get the newspaper and a pair of shorts? They'll think you're a dude, and it was just absolutely hilarious. You know, I told.
Did you do that?
I didn't, but I wish
you
I did.
Didn't.
No, I didn't.
It's not too late. I mean, you could really do it now.
These don't come off anymore, and so. Well, but it was funny. It was
I looked
funny.
Like my father, and I laughed. We laughed. Yeah, I've got a picture. A really powerful spiritual truth came through that. Yeah. But when I lost my hair, I looked in the mirror and I went, "Oh my God, I look like my father." Yeah. I mean, you know, flat-chested, no hair. I've got a picture. I'll show you. I've got it on my phone if you want to see it. It is devastating, you know, but it was funny. It was funny. So humor just goes a long way.
Wow.
This is helpful. You know, I just keep thinking, Dr. Vanessa, you have been a physician for many, many years. Some people may not know you, but you must have seen, I mean, as a physician, you come in touch with life and death and having to deal with it just from that perspective and see how family react. Is there anything that you want to add to this from your experience as a physician, dealing with very serious situations with patients through the years?
No, I think that is true. I mean, you don't go in there and cry with them, of course, you know, and you want to uplift them. In the hospital, you know, you see a variety of people, but I think the biggest thing that I could leave with you in experiencing lots of death, unfortunately, is that when somebody dies, it is a absolute moment that is very, that you're very much aware of when the spirit leaves the body. That person is no longer there and it is just a body. And to me, that's very comforting that they're with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. And I have been privileged, I feel, to see that moment because it just gives me hope. You know, we truly don't know why, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust, or why some people that seem to be fighting in faith go to be with Jesus. And some things we're going to have to wait until we get to heaven and say why. We prayed our heart as we did. We don't know. But we still have to have that faith because he says, with long life will I satisfy you. And so I will always pray for healing, because God is no respecter of persons and he is the healer. I will always pray for long life because there's a plan and a purpose for everyone, and I don't feel it's over at 30. I don't feel it's over at 40. He says long life. That's not long. Amen? And if it does not work out that my prayers are answered, I'm going to have to wait until I get to heaven to meet Jesus. But I know that when they depart from that body, they're with God. And really, if you've never seen a dead body, it's just a shell. You know that the vigor, the vitality, the joy, the smiles that were in that person, the personality, it's no longer there. It's just a shell because they're with the Savior.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Pastor Sue, at what point, they may be sitting ladies here that think these girls had a strong spiritual background and they had a huge support system. Maybe somebody's sitting here and they do not have a support system. You know, they maybe not have family that are believers. There's not a lot of faith going around. What do they do? When do they step out for help? Or what would you tell them if they just feel alone? You know, as a pastor.
Well, I would say that's the beauty of a church, of your church family. You know, Women Rock AM, I mean, it's I know it's my lifeblood, you know, and so, you know, coming to the house of God, you have people that are going to encourage you, they're going to lift you up, they're going to speak words of faith, and, you know, And how can two walk together unless they be agreed? There's agreement here in prayer that will strengthen you. And that's why we haven't been called to live as islands. So especially if you're in a place where you're the only one in your household that really trusts God and loves God, then you're going to have to make a diligent effort to get into the house of God. But as a supplement during the week or times you can't, we don't have services, obviously, there's Bible programs, there's books, but if you have a smartphone, there's Bible programs where you can get the Word of God and, you know, look up different words that He's going to give you that will just be a solid anchor to your soul. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you've got to get the Word of God in you to strengthen you. David, when no one else would encourage him, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And then to know that that Jesus is your very present help in time of need. And so you're not alone. And ultimately, like Candy and Pam both shared, there's quiet times that no one's there.
Yeah.
And so as much as we might have people around us, there's still a place that you have to be alone with God and learn to hear His voice and let Him minister to you. And He'll do that through His Word and by His Spirit. And you've got to learn how to draw on that. But certainly, you know, get in, you know, make a friend with a godly woman here at Women Rock AM that you can call and ask her to agree with you in prayer, because we're not perfect. And there are low days or, you know, going through menopause and all that. There's just hormonal things that you're like, what happened today? But you need, people to encourage you and lift you up and pray with you. And so believe God for those connections in your life and a good friend, because, you know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And I know there's a few close friends in my life that when I really need to hear from God and I don't want somebody to just pamper my flesh, you know, I'll call and they'll, you know, you can do this, or they'll speak the word, or they'll offer to pray, and so that's, you know, what God can bring into your life. Pray and ask Him for that friend.
Wow, that is so good.
Let me just say too that I think that iron definitely sharpens iron, and we need people, but don't, what's happened to me sometimes, and I'm sure it never happens to you, but don't allow Satan to use the fact that you don't have these people to tear you down, because all of us, when we go through, I mean, especially in ministry, they don't know how to reach you like Jesus. And thank God that He lives inside of us. And that should be your best friend. He should be your go-to person. You know, it's wonderful to have somebody to call on the phone, but they don't always know how to satisfy that need, that longing, that fear, that pain that you're going through, but God does. And so through it all, instead of saying, looking at others and saying, you know, they have this great support system, you know, just spend that time getting to know your Jesus, because He's the one that's not going to let you down. Amen. And He can, you know, the devil will play a mind game with you and you'll kind of start a pity party. But when it comes down to it, just like salvation, nobody can get saved for you. You're going to have to stand before the Father by yourself. You know, you got to go through it by yourself. And you can come to girlfriends, and we're trying to strengthen you so that when you have those alone times and you're going through, you can call on Jesus, because we can't be there all the time. Amen.
Mm-hmm. That is such a good picture from both of you. And, you know, I just want to share with you too, just for me during this year, earlier in the year, I had moments like that, and we're going to ask you about the darker moments. And it doesn't take, you don't have to run to your closet and go fast for a week. You know, God, He's right there. And I had a situation that I got a call that we have to take. It concerns my son. We almost lost my son earlier this year. And I had 5 minutes before somebody was going to pick me up. I had a friend call me that was just a God thing, and it is priceless. And then after that, I just went and I sat on the couch and I literally cried out to God, just with a loud voice. And God just said to me, let me speak with you, and open scripture at Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not His benefits. In that moment, I didn't have time to pre-pray, you know, just cried out to God. And He said, forget not, daughter. And that was my word.
forget not. Because when that comes, it shakes you. It shakes you out of what you thought you knew. You know? And he said, forget not. And he forgives your iniquities. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life. He crowns you. He satisfies you. And just maybe 2 weeks ago, I had another dark moment because of the same child and the same situation. And from then till now, I'm worn out, you know, spiritually. And I had one of those moments. I was alone at home and I just went and I really cried. I really cried to God. And I just said, God, boy, do I need you. I just need God. I just need you now because the doctors have said this, medicine have said this, everybody has said this, but God, and God is so faithful. I want to encourage you in that. God is so faithful. I opened scripture and the first thing I read was, for I will restore health to you and heal all your wounds. And I read the scripture around it and it is like an ointment. Yeah. It's just like oil. And it's amazing how the word of God can just comfort you in a second. So why don't you just tell us, and we're nearing the end, why, let's just be real. Can you tell us your darkest moment if you one more time would like to? If not, just tell us whatever you want. Tell us about your darkest moment and what did you do? How did you get through that? Because we have moments like Pastor Sue has also said, you know, you have your moments of victory, but
I think my darkest moment was I think my hardest time actually kind of sounds funny was losing my hair. And I was okay, and I was so devastated that I didn't shave mine right away. I shed like a dog everywhere because I just was in denial. That's the only way I can say I was in denial. I didn't want to admit that I really was going bald because my mindset was, well, you know, I can't see the back, although I had a big receding hairline at this point. And it was very hard. So the time came when I finally shaved my head. My hairdresser came and she shaved my head. And at that time, I just remember like my head felt so cold, you know? It's just all the air hitting it and it felt so cold. And so I fell in a depression. I just got super depressed. I didn't want anybody to call. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And then I just would talk to God and tell him, I never asked why. The only thing I asked why with was why my hair? Why my hair, you know? And so like, can I at least keep my hair? That was my bargain with God. I really tried to bargain. And so when I got super depressed and I just stayed in bed for like 3 days, wouldn't talk to anybody. And finally, as I kept talking to God, and finally, before I even opened my eyes, which seemed to be the times God would always talk to me, before I even opened my eyes, I heard the Lord tell me, what are you doing? Get up. Get up. You're giving the enemy too much place over your life. Get up. And that's how he spoke to me. Wow. And I remember opening my eyes and saying, that's right. What am I doing? What am I doing? And so I got up. And let me remind you, I had not even looked at my head. It got shaved. She wrapped it with the scarf. I wouldn't look at it again. So I hadn't looked at it. So finally, I went to go take a shower. And I stood there in front of the mirror. And I said, okay, God, it's me and you. And I took off the scarf. I looked in the mirror and I literally started laughing. And I said, wow, I look just like a turtle. And so, because I felt like I had this bigger body and this super little head. And so, but isn't that just like God? I mean, he just brought me out of this deep depression because I literally just stayed there. I didn't know how to get out. I knew how to get out, but I didn't have the power to get out. I didn't have the fight inside of me to get out, you know? And so I just stayed there. And so that was my darkest moment through it all, was at that moment. Thank you for sharing
that. I was the same way.
we have no idea how much of an impact our hair has on us. It's incredible. It's our crown. It's our glory, you know? Like I told you before, when my husband shaved my head, I wasn't facing the mirror, and I turned around and I looked in that mirror and I went, oh my God, I look like my father. It just, we started laughing. Took pictures with my dad. I told him, I says, it's proof I'm your daughter. And I can remember a couple nights later, I was laying in bed and lamenting to the Lord, because you do that. And I was lamenting to the Lord, going, Lord, my hair. There's nothing about me that looks even remotely like what I used to look like. Your skin gets a little sallow, and you just, your eyes don't look right, and you just, everything about you. And I went, Lord, I look like my father. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, yes, daughter, you look like your father.
That's right. Yes.
It was the most profound spiritual moment of the entire journey, and if I had to go through it all again just for that moment, I would do it again.
That's right.
Because in that second, that relationship of being the King of Kings, the Almighty Father who created the universe, I'm his daughter.
Yes.
The amount of love and care that he bestows over us is beyond our belief, and you are his daughter.
That's right.
Nobody should have to go through cancer to make that realization and to have that realization. The Holy Spirit can speak into your heart and show you who you truly are. You are not identified by this. You are not identified by this. You are not identified by what the world says. You are identified by what your father says. And he says, you are my daughter.
Yes.
That is so good.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.